Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Road to Ironman 2020 journey. For the next three episodes, Renzo, Gerard and Christine are going to be chatting to you about each of the three physical disciplines of competing in an Ironman, the swim, the bike and the run, to chat about what our favorite parts are, what our challenges are, and to discuss our favorite parts of the swim, bike and run, including transition as well, although we might actually have an extra episode on that at some point as well. I think that might be quite important. So Gerard, tell me about your swim and what your challenges are and how you enjoy it. How do you make it work for you?
I must admit, swimming has always been something that I enjoyed. Although I think before I went to the Navy, last time I swam was around about, or competitively was in standard 3 or 4. Obviously in the Navy it was a big part. So I'm comfortable in the open water. But I think because I don't have this like history of swimming 4 hours a day for years and years on end, like some triathletes do, I'm still not where I want to be, but I am enjoying it. In the pools, I'm getting to about 140 per 100 meter average, and in open water, I'm averaging about two minutes per 100 meters. So it's something I'm happy with. For me, what I'm struggling to do is, what I force myself to do is to almost enjoy the swim, take it easy, so that I still have something left for on the bike and the run. But I do realize that there's quite a lot of improvements that I can do in the pool with my technique and learning how to catch and all of those type of things. And that's been an interesting journey that I've embarked on. I did have a coach since February this year, Andre Brandt from Step Up Sport, which helped me a lot. I think I was averaging about just over 2 minutes in the pool. I mean, that went down with about 20 seconds just with a couple of easy changes and then obviously putting time in the pool, which I think is the most important. But I'm not where I want to be yet, and I'm trying to spend at least one open water session or do one open water session a week just to get comfortable with all types of open water. And yeah, that has been my limited experience so far. I've only done one triathlon, which was in a dam. So I don't think it's that intense as the ocean, but I've done some open water swims in the ocean as well. So I think that's experiencing that is very important. Renzo?
Yeah, I think that's amazing. So when I did the Durban Half in June this year, it was amazing to see the stress around swimming in the ocean. So people had prepared to be at the 70.3, and obviously they'd trained, but the fear or anxiety is probably the better word of going into the open ocean, the open water in the ocean is quite a big thing. I think within the first discipline, there's the additional discipline of not only being able to swim competitively or whatever, do the swim, but also the additional discipline of being able to cope in the ocean. Especially in Africa, right? Because we've got some serious ocean in Africa, so it's cool. I think that my swimming is probably my weakest of the three disciplines, which is quite something for me because I've always been a water baby. I love swimming. I love being in the water and I love being in the ocean. I mean, one of my hobbies is spearfishing. So I'm out there as often as I can be. And what's really lucky is I'm very comfortable in the water and I'm very comfortable in the ocean. I'm just not that fast. Not as fast as I thought I was.
I want to be.
So, yeah, and I'm getting there. I mean, so it's been amazing because with the little bit of training that I've had with my coach, and Mark Descott, my coach, is a former competitive swimmer. He studied and swam in the States like a lot of our professional elite swimmers do.
Mm.
And so when I swim with those guys, it's insane. They're doing, you know, I'm happy with a 1 minute 40, 100 meter split in the pool. These guys are doing like 1 minute, 105s. and they make me look like I'm standing still. But it's fantastic because it's pushing me. So in the last few weeks, I've gone from a 1 minute 40 split to I'm starting to hit more consistently 1 minute 30s in the pool. So it's like it's coming on, but I have to work very hard at it, and I realized how inefficient my swimming stroke is. So I think that's the one thing I'm learning about swimming is it doesn't matter how fast you think you are, or even how strong you are, if you're not efficient when you're swimming, if your stroke is not efficient, you're gonna lose valuable time in the water. You might start out fast, but you'll tire very, very quickly. And so that's what I'm working on at the moment: is how to become more efficient, how to reach better, how to rotate more, how to get my catch right. And oh wow, there's so much to do. It's such a technical discipline.
Yeah.
And the trick, I think, comes in even more is that you can work on all that stuff in the pool. And you get into open water and it just goes for a ball of you know what. Like everything you've learned and been able to practice in the pool, you kind of have to figure out a whole new way when you get into open water because there suddenly isn't the line. There aren't those recoveries after your speed work or interval sessions. Your goggle, like today, I had leaky goggles the whole day on the swim, but I actually didn't care. Eventually, I took them off. And like held them and swam because it was irritating me so much. But so I mean, like in open water, you'd have no control over the environment around you, and you can have to be efficient, but maybe in a different way.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, and when Renzo, when you spoke about it, I get these flashbacks from myself in the pool. So I will like do 800 meter splits or sprints. And then I like push hard because I want to, you know, when you see that like 135 or 150 on the watch, then it's like an awesome feeling. So I'm pushing hard and then I just go a little bit, but it feels like slower because I'm focusing more on my form. And then I maybe go 2 seconds slower, but I feel like I can do that forever. And then you just try
and you can breathe more.
Yeah. And I think that's also something that you need to think of is rather finish your 1.9 or your 3.8 swim feeling relatively comfortable, whereas you push yourself too hard and then you get out the water, you're so disorientated and feel crap that you're not ready for your bike at all. But yeah, it's definitely different in the open water. My biggest, I won't call it a fear, but let's call it a concern. What I like the least about the swim is the cold water, which every time I do it and I get in and I just start moving with the wetsuit, obviously, it's the last worry. Actually, the water is not that bad, even here in Cape Town. But every time when you're driving to the beach and it's not the best weather, you start to think, ah, yes, this water is going to be cold. That was my biggest concern that I had. But it's, I think it's part of the mental game as well. You need to, especially when the water is rough, I'm like, okay, yes, today it's going to be a mental victory as well. I've lost goggles getting out as rough as the water was. But I think you walk away with those training sessions and it's like, okay, well, at least I know I can handle that type of rough water.
You've just reminded me of something. And I don't know what it is, right? I think that... Whether right? Whether it's God or whether it's the universe or whether it's life that's testing me. In terms of when you talk about mental toughness and swimming, for me, you know, all of my disciplines. So when we have a training session and I need to go and run, it's cool. I go and run. And the wind can be blowing, or it can be still, it can be hot, it can be whatever. It doesn't matter. Raining. Same with cycling. Although cycling into a headwind is not such fun. But whenever we go swim, like tomorrow morning, or tomorrow I've got a swim session scheduled. And the weather, every single time I have a swimming session, it's either raining or blowing. It's miserable. And it's like psychologically, you look at this and you go, this is the last place I want to be is in a swimming pool right now.
Yeah.
Or even in the ocean. Certainly not the ocean, because the ocean's just a washing machine. But, and I'm having to develop this mental toughness every time to get into the pool. It's like someone's testing me to say, how badly do you want to do this?
but when you get out, man, that's the best feeling ever. When you get out and you put the work in.
Well, of course. But even, Gerard, even when you get in the water, I mean, the water's warmer. You can't feel the wind. You know, you're in the water and then it's fine. So, but it's that psychological step of going from my little warm comfort zone in the car, at home, at work, into a swimming pool in that crap weather.
I think you've touched on something there, which I can relate to is, it's so, I mean, I was thrown into a swimming pool, I think, when I was about one. So, and I trained, and my dad was actually my coach for most of primary school. And I swam pretty competitively the whole way through high school as well. And then even after school for a while. And so I love swimming like you. I'm like, feel so comfortable in the water. It's just where I want to be. But it's very easy to want to train your favorite discipline because it's the easiest one for you. So I've had to teach myself to even, like, I'm a good swimmer. I'm probably not the best that I can be, but I, for the purposes of Ironman, for me, it's not worth the time and energy to try and be the absolute best swimmer I can be for Ironman, because I know my bike needs a cuck load of work. So I've devised my own kind of strategy to make sure that my swim is above average, but I don't have to put in the hours to become the best swimmer I can be, because I need to put those hours into my bike rather, because I know that's where I'm going to be spending the bulk of my day. And so
that's going to set you up for your run.
Yeah. So I really just, I kind of have to work myself up for the bike, and we'll get to the bike obviously in the next podcast, but for the swim, it's really, I set out to do 3 short swims a week, and obviously to try and do one in the ocean as well, especially after today at the Challenge Cape Town. I absolutely loved the swim, and it was really good training to swim in the sea. But it is a place where I'm very, very comfortable, and I probably don't always push as much as I should to be more competitive with myself, but I do push, and I don't have to try too hard to do pretty well in my racing and my training. So I try, and my swimming training at the moment is a lot more maintenance work and working on speed and getting the 3 swims in a week to get the mileage done, to just keep my fitness where it needs to be so I can spend more time on the bike. But yeah,
You got me thinking, right? So, I mean, I want to be more efficient and I want to be stronger in the pool and of course, just develop as an athlete overall, because I'm 100% clear that Ironman South Africa 2020 is not going to be my last Ironman. It's not going to be my first and last. It'll be my first. And that I want to do many more. And so my swimming can develop over time. And that's what I've realized, 2 things, is that I need the patience because my swimming will come. So I will learn to become a fast swimmer at some point or over time. But what you were just saying just reminded me, I read somewhere, I heard somewhere that the swim makes up 10% of maximum of the Ironman day. And yes, it's one of the disciplines, so it is important, but in the bigger scheme of the 10, 11, 14, 15 hour day, it's such a small thing that yes, you've got a discipline, you've got to master the discipline, but it's the bike that we've got to focus on to get us to the point where we're strong enough to do the run. And that's such an important reminder, because that's my strategy. I'm so keen to just go out there and hammer it. Yep. I'm so keen to go out there and hammer it. But
And I think that's also, it's quite important to have like a monitoring tool. I like, although all of my stuff goes onto Strava, I use Training Peaks as well. I just feel that or find that their graphs and stuff is a little bit more interactive. And if you look at something like that, what I've realized over the last 10 months is it's more with regards to the consistency. Overall, you are becoming faster, even if it's with 2 seconds a month on average, but you are becoming faster. It's just some days are bad days and something doesn't feel right. But if you are consistent throughout a long period, you'll find. And I mean, I'm definitely not anywhere close to an expert, but I've heard numerous conversations that anything between 3 and 5 years to get to a decent level in swimming, that's how long it can take just to like be relatively great. And then you need to be consistent over that period. I also think it's important to, when you do start with your swimming training, have a mechanism that, and if you don't want to, I mean, Strava as well as Training Peaks has a free option. So you don't have to pay for it if you don't want to take out the extra money. But it's important to document it, even if you make notes. So you can go back on your notes and see, oh yes, last year this time I was swimming 2 minutes, now I'm doing 150. So okay, at least there's a little bit of improvement.
Yeah.
And I mean, you mentioned that for a lot of people, the swim is a very anxious part. Like, I think, honestly, for a lot of people, probably 60 or 70% of an Ironman field is more worried about the swim than they are about the bike. And just for me, it gives me a lot of peace that, yes, I might not be in my peak swimming condition, but I'm really fit and I'm consistent and I'm not anxious about it because I'm comfortable in the water, I've done the work, and I'm going to kind of use that as a way to warm up for the race. So get in, relax, enjoy it, and then get on the bike, and kind of that's when the work starts. Not saying that I'm going to take it easy and just chill. Like, you're still going to push, but that anxiety that comes at the start of a race can be debilitating for some people. I know I've got close friends that their bike is absolutely brilliant, their run is awesome, and even their swim is not bad, but that anxiety and stress that comes with it has actually like derailed them completely, like to the point of DNFing big events. So to get that under control and just be comfortable and at peace with being in the water and enjoying it and just getting through it, and actually like using it as a place to kind of gather your thoughts possibly and find some way to sort of gather yourself before you get on the bike, I think is quite an important space to be in. In an Ironman, it's a long day, like you said.
The last thing I want to say before we wrap up is exactly on that line. One of the gifts I had of the Durban Half in June was the swim, because I had a lot of fun. I mean, the sea was perfect, and I love swimming, as you know. I was so anxious about this massive race ahead of me. It was the biggest race I've ever done in my life. And just being able to get into the ocean, and once the start had started and I was in the water, I had the time of the swim to just settle down and, you know, kind of focus on the rest of the race, and kind of my nerves just all dissipated into the water. It was just like, okay, here we are, we're moving. And it was so awesome. So I'm really looking forward to the swim at Ironman.
Me too.
No, I think it's going to be fun. And yeah, before we close off, I think it's sometimes important to get somebody to record you as well with a camera. So that when you do chat with your coach or maybe somebody that's a fairly good swimmer, if you don't have a coach yet, then it's an easy way to say, oh, remember this, bring your arm in, you're coming in too much. It's a little bit easier to analyze it that way as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Guess who I did, standing on top of the Virgin Active balcony, taking videos of him and sending them to his coach for him.
Yeah. Well, luckily, my coach stands there and he films me and he says, I told you, fix this. Why have you not done it yet?
Yeah, that's the benefit of having a coach that you swim with. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I thought I was swimming fast, but on the video it looks like I'm freaking slow.
I know. It's ridiculous. Anyway, the one thing that I remind myself of is that we're a work in progress. So. Yeah.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I was born perfect. Now I'm progressing.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Keep swimming.
Cool. Thank you.
And get yourself a good pair of goggles.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers, bye.
Yeah. Bye.